Welcome to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. This podcast series offers a fun and serious look at hypnosis and offers various ideas, discuss case studies, along with NGH educational opportunities.
Hello and welcome everyone to our podcast with the National Guild of Hypnotists. My name is Deb Livingston. I am a board certified hypnotist and trainer with the National Guild. And today it is my absolute pleasure to be able to talk with Kapil and Rupali Upshankar. And greetings to both of you.
Hi, Debbie. Good to see you.
Yeah.
So, hi, Debbie. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here. And I'm so happy to be able to talk with you today because I really just met you officially at the conference in August. So I'm thrilled to be able to have more of a conversation to sort of continue where we left off. But I want to start right off at the top. I'll introduce you two as you both are certified instructor. Excuse me, you're both hypnotists with the National Guild of Hypnotists. You're both instructors with the National Guild of Hypnotists. And your practice is in Texas. Is that correct?
That's right.
And you both offer gentle approaches to empower individuals to embrace inner strengths and create a life of abundance, joy, and fulfillment. And I'm just going to dive in right there because I was on your website today. Your website is blissvana.com. So let's just open up with what is the Blissvana approach? Because I love that name.
Thank you, Debbie, and thanks for starting off with Blissvana. For us, Blissvana has been the core focus of everything that we have done pretty much for the last two decades.
Wow.
And the whole idea here is getting our clients to follow a path that leads them down their bliss. And we do a lot of hypnosis work with our clients. We also integrate some mind-body techniques, work from Louise Hay, from her Heal Your Life philosophy. We also do a significant amount of coaching that's facilitated through hypnosis. But the whole idea is helping our clients find out what creates bliss for them, helping them find their bliss, helping them live their bliss every single day, and helping them discover all of those techniques that actually get them to their bliss. A lot of this is kind of influenced from our own Eastern upbringing and spiritual philosophies, which focuses a lot more on bliss. Mm-hmm. And it was something that was validated later on with the work of Joseph Campbell, where he essentially led the movement here in the US and the Western world for leading people, getting people to follow their bliss. So Blissvana for us is that place where we help our clients live their bliss.
I love this. I just want to stay on this whole Blissvana theme. What is the main place that your clients seem to get stuck on even wanting to know what their bliss might be? Like, what is the main place that people get stuck with finding their bliss?
I think most of the times people don't have clarity to begin with as to what exactly they're looking for. And if at all they have that clarity, then they are stuck with limiting beliefs or not being confident that they will be able to achieve their personal and professional goals. And that's when we come into picture and help them out.
So one of the big things, Debbie, that we've also done over the last two decades, if you will, is we also did a significant amount of corporate work working with individuals and high-performing teams. And there was one pattern that kind of kept emerging that has gotten us to where we are today. And that pattern that Rupali would definitely like to chime in on is this whole notion of I'm not good enough.
Mm. Yeah, every person, I think at the end of the day, every person comes from a feeling that I'm not good enough. There are fears, worries, doubts, self-doubt. And we need to work on those beliefs, reprogram them, of course, using hypnosis and our other work, coaching and meditations.
That brings up a question. So based on your culture, is it safe to assume that you both are from India? Or were you born? Mm-hmm. Like, is that your background? Is that safe to assume?
Absolutely.
So then would you say that in your culture, bliss is more already part of your culture than it is here in our country of America? Because I already sort of have my hunches here, but how would you speak into that?
You're absolutely right, Debbie. So the if you look at kind of the whole history of Eastern wisdom, this not just India, but also a lot of the other Eastern cultures, one comes to realize that bliss is looked upon as an integral part of every person's day-to-day existence. As a matter of fact, if you kind of dig deeper into some of the religious scriptures, and let's leave the religion piece of it aside, but if you look at the spiritual principles that drive those beliefs, it's actually rooted in the fact that the whole purpose of life is bliss. Be it coming from a perspective of existence, be it coming from a perspective of prosperity and abundance, be it coming from a perspective of good health and relationships, it all leads into this whole notion of bliss. And now, today, over the last 40, 50 years, specifically more so after the work that Joseph Campbell did through his books and his seminal work on bliss, we've kind of come to realize that bliss is essentially an integral part, and you could explore it through meditation, you could explore it through mindfulness techniques, but more importantly, it's something that can be deeply learned and ingrained as a habit through hypnosis.
This is really
And
powerful. Oh, go ahead.
yeah, as the Eastern wisdom says that living in the present moment, living in the now, is what will lead you more into that space of bliss. And so we do combine Eastern wisdom with the Western techniques also. And we follow Eckhart Tolle, the power of now. And if you see the scale of consciousness by
Dr. David Hawkins.
yeah, David Hawkins, yeah. The bliss is like at the top of that scale. And our journey is really from that space of not feeling good enough to the space of being in bliss, so that from that space of being enough, being myself, being in the present moment, then we are able to create the dream life, the life of our dreams.
I love this. So you're really helping to move people into alignment. So you started out by saying that got your start in the corporate world. So can there be bliss in the corporate world also?
There can be, Debbie, and I'm glad you asked me that question, because one of the very common objections we get from our clients and people in general is, hey, bliss sounds to be so esoteric. It sounds to be like a pipe dream, and it also sounds to be like a spiritual pursuit. So are you kind of sending me down a path of spiritual pursuit? And when you kind of peel the layers of the onion, if you will, one comes to realize that bliss has actually been called upon differently in different cultures, in different contexts. I mean, one of the synonyms, and that's a great metaphor that I've seen, is it's the flow state. And for an athlete, for example, or a sportsman or sportswoman, bliss actually lies in that moment where he or she is actually deeply ingrained and performing to his or her highest potential. For someone who's studying, bliss is actually that flow state where everything that the student is learning is actually going directly into both short-term and long-term memories. And in the corporate world, then, bliss kind of takes on different roles. For someone who's passionate about speaking, bliss is getting into this large conversation, if you will, maybe a conference, maybe a presentation. And being so deeply ingrained that the presentation actually just flows through. But then at the end of the day, it's also the ability of being able to say, huh, the day is done, and I'm able to come back to my true natural self, knowing fully well that while that's one of the hats that I've worn through the day, that's one of the roles that I have played through the day, my life is not defined by what I do in the corporate world, what I do, what my role or job title calls me to do. There's something more meaningful to my life.
This is so powerful. I love this. There's a lot of alignment with what you're saying with the work that I do, and not exactly, but just a lot of the same
But we
beliefs.
love your work, Debbie, and your
Thank
blueprint
you.
process was absolutely fascinating.
Oh,
So,
thank you
yes.
so much. Yay. I'm so much loving this whole theme of bliss. I got my start as a psychic clairvoyant reader before I dove into the world of hypnosis. So I got my start in the metaphysics. I'm like a metaphysician first before I became a hypnotist. And part of when people would come to me for intuitive counselings or a reading, they get to ask questions. And so many times I get people who go, I don't even know what question to ask, which reminds me of your clients, I don't even know what bliss would look like. So when you have a client who's so darn curious about finding their own bliss, and it's such a new concept perhaps for them, and they don't even know what that might look like, how do you start that process of opening up somebody's possibility of tapping into their bliss if they don't even know what that might be?
So one of the things, Debbie, is we've been privileged, and I really say privileged because we've had the opportunity to work with the philosophy of Louise Hay, the whole Heal Your Life philosophy, and that's the piece that we bring in
Well, you
moving
can't see it
forward.
with the
Absolutely. I mean, and then being able to expand that into incorporating more psychosomatic work into the practice that we do. Along with Louise, then we had the privilege of working with Dr. Wayne Dyer and his philosophy and body of thought. So that was one big influence on us. The other big influence in the work that we have is the work that we have done with Mark Allen, who is the publisher of New World Library, and he published Shakti Gawain. He kind of co-wrote Creative Visualization with Shakti and then published Shakti's work.
One,
And
the
there was
first book I bought on visualization back in 1978 in Berkeley, California.
Absolutely. And Shakti's work is not only extraordinary from the fact that it's so simple to understand and implement, but it's also a piece of work. The whole creative visualization process that she talks about is something that we as hypnotists bring into our work and into our clients' lives every single day. But because of this body of work, going back to your question, Debbie, the whole process for us almost always starts with a single question. And that single question is something that we've kind of perfected over the years, but we essentially learned it from Mark Allen. And it's about imagine a day 5 years from now. And that period could be 3 years, it could be 18 months, but imagine 3 years have passed and your life has unfolded exactly the way you wanted it to unfold. And from that point on, it's a conversation. How does your life look like? Where are you? What are you doing? What are the kind of people that you're with? What's your profession? What's your occupation? What's your income? What does your health look like?
It's sort of like reverse engineering.
It is.
Right. And when we do that, then people automatically know that this is where I want to be, and this is where I am right now. And what are the areas that I'm stuck in? And it could be any area of life, like relationships or career or finances.
And with this, for the first time, Debbie, a lot of our clients then, for the first time in their life, they actually get clarity, coming back to what Rupali said. And that clarity leads to a definition and a realization of, this is what bliss looks like. And this is what my definition of bliss is.
I love this because it's still, to go back to my training with Jerry Kine, client-oriented therapy. You're not telling them what bliss is according to you. You're letting them tap into their own personal experience of bliss. So this is so powerful, you guys. I'm really enjoying this a lot. So let me backtrack a little bit. You said it's been 20 years you've been on this Bliss-Bhana journey. So what was that point, turning point 20 years ago that started you on this path, if I can ask you that?
Thank you for asking that because that's my opportunity to kind of pay my own gratitude to my teacher. And both of us were actually privileged to learn from Jerry Valley. We trained from Jerry Valley,
Wow.
and Jerry was in California in 2005. And we actually did in person private training with Jerry Valley. So we were privileged with that. And along with Jerry, we also had the privilege of learning from Tommy V, and Alex Smith. So we kind of formalized the whole interest back in 2005, and became members of the guild and have been with the guild ever since, which is like been a fascinating, amazing associationship, if you will. But that was essentially, I would say, the turning point. Now, prior to 2005, most of the work that both me and Rupali had done was essentially out of self-interest, which is how a lot of us actually get started. And then that 2005 marked a turning point where we essentially got on a path that was very structured, very formalized. And we were able to kind of work with Jerry as our mentor and go on from there. And then, of course, along the way, we ended up having additional credentials and competencies and skills added to our entire portfolio, like the work that we did with Heal Your Life.
That's so powerful. And where in Texas are you located?
So we are based in the Dallas area, and
Okay.
that's where we got started with our practice. And that was pre-COVID. And then, of course, COVID happened, and the world was a different place, and
Love a
everyone had to be
COVID.
innovative. So a lot of our practice now is actually moved online,
Was going to ask you that,
while we
yeah.
still practice in person, but that ratio is insignificant. Most of our practice has moved online, and most of our practice also has moved beyond just United States. So we do a lot of work with clients in India. We do a lot of trainings for students who want to get on the certification path with NGH in India as well.
That's really powerful. That's wonderful. How did you two come together?
You
I'm going to ask
want
personal
to tell that
questions
story?
now. So let's actually thank our corporate jobs for that, at least. Always
Apart from
always
the
a silver
stress and
lining.
burnout.
So you met in the corporate world?
Yeah, we met in our corporate jobs. I was doing a different function, she was doing a different function, but there was this project that kind of got us together, and we were kind of trying to figure out how to make that project successful. And along the
Sure.
way, we ended up deciding that, okay, the project is successful. What about our own lives?
Let's see how
So
we
we
can make our
decided to
lives
actually,
successful together.
absolutely.
I love
So
that.
blessed.
This is wonderful. So, Ripali, when you're working with clients, do you have a sweet spot with the type of client that you like to attract for you?
I love to work with women, especially in corporate, because since when we got started as part-time, and of course I had my full-time corporate job back then, and it's like I've been there, done that, and I know what stress and burnout and everything that women especially go through. I was also working when we had our both kids, so being a working mom, being here in the US or even in India, I worked there in corporate job. As a working mom, I've seen firsthand the challenges that women face. So I love working with corporate women.
How about you, sir? The type of client that you like to attract.
So there are two core personas I work with, Debbie. And part of it is my own interest, and part of it is how the universe has had it worked out. In a corporate world especially, successful men tend to be stereotyped as type A. And that's consistent across industries, that's consistent across geographies, that's consistent across cultures. So it's kind of looked upon that, hey, if you're a man, and I'm not trying to be exclude the other gender, but successful corporate leaders tend to be looked upon as type A personalities. Well, in reality, it's something different. But the reality is that as personalities, we all kind of get divvied up by, let's say, the MBTI. So it's kind of an even segmentation there. But there are very successful empaths. There are very successful, what I call as type Z leaders, who typically are on the INF side of the MBTI spectrum. So these are either INFJs or INFPs, who kind of feel lost in that entire rat race of corporate success. It kind of just saps them. So my sweet spot is working with successful corporate leaders who fall in this side of the spectrum. They are either highly sensitive people, or they're empaths, or they are on the INFJ, INFP spectrum, on the MBTI path, if you will. But one of the other things that I've done over the last 4 or 5 years is a significant amount of work in past life regression. Both Rupali and I have had the privilege of working with Michael Hathaway and training with him. So there's also a lot of work that we do, not only using the core hypnosis principles, but I also like to bring in some of the past life regression work, specifically where clients kind of want it and are in a pattern where the pattern keeps repeating. Companies change, job titles change, but people don't change, situations don't change, circumstances don't change. So we kind of end up doing a lot of work on that. So that's my sweet spot.
You two are a power couple, and I'm only going to assume because I don't know, but I would assume that you're very, very busy in Texas because you're both healers and your energies are both so gentle and inviting. Like, and I felt that way when I met you both at the conference, and Kapila was in your class also, and you're a great communicator. And I don't remember the name of the class, but it was down at the end of the Marlboro Room. And it was a wonderful, wonderful presentation. And you're both just so gentle with your energy. I really respect that about you both. So thank you for all of this and everything that you share and that you offer to people.
Thank you, Debbie. We are blessed. We are blessed. And our relationship, our associationship with NGH is something that we cherish so deeply. It's kind of taken us to places that we never thought we would go. It's given us an opportunity to learn from mentors that we otherwise would not have access to. So the feeling is mutual.
The NGH is a powerful umbrella to be underneath, and I'm really happy that I am as well, and everything that it offers for all of us as far as community and information. So you two are just two of the incredible people that are here with the Guild, and I look forward to seeing you in August again. What do you do for fun when you're not doing hypnosis? Not that hypnosis isn't fun, but do you have any other hobbies that you like to do when you're not doing hypnosis?
We have three cats.
I
And
have two.
the cats keep us busy. We are a cat family, so we kind of love to play with the cats.
I love this. I knew there was more of an affinity with you guys.
But there's a lot more work that Rupali does beyond just the healing work and the hypnosis work that she does. So I'll let Rupali talk about it first, and then I'll tell you more.
Please
So I'm
do.
also a singer. I'm trained in Indian classical music. So I have one YouTube channel which is dedicated to chanting Sanskrit mantras and
Can you put
chants.
that in the chat room, your YouTube channel, or could you say that for us, unless you
Yeah,
don't want
sure.
us to know?
It's Om Shri Divine Music.
My God, this is wonderful. Wow.
Yeah, and that's also been a journey for me. I started it around 5 years ago, and although I
Wow.
don't have millions of subscribers, it's reached around 24,000 subscribers now.
That's huge. That's
And
amazing.
it's really very satisfying work because when I get feedback from people saying that we love hearing these mantras in your soothing voice, that keeps me going basically with that work.
I can't wait to check out this YouTube station. That's exciting. Wow.
And for me, Debbie,
Yeah.
I'm very kinesthetic. So I love to write, and I love to write the old-fashioned way, pen on paper, but it's about fountain pens. So I kind of
Ooh.
play around with fountain pens, just the way we all did when we were in school.
Yeah.
But it's with a fresh pair of eyes. It's with a fresh set of love, if you will. I work with fountain pens. I work with different kinds of inks and paper and stationery. I write a lot pen on paper, and then I integrate it all together with the energies of crystals and stones.
You guys just keep getting more and more interesting. How do you like that? Well, then thank you both of you for spending time with us today. And oh, actually, I do want to ask you one more question. I know that our podcast is to inspire hypnotists that are already certified and also to hopefully inspire other people to become a hypnotist. So, what would you say to the people that are listening who are not yet certified in hypnosis? What would you say to inspire them to want to become certified and perhaps even go to you two as instructors?
I would start it off, Debbie, by saying being a certified hypnotist and being a certified hypnotist with NGH is such a rewarding career. And it's not necessarily only for those individuals who are kind of in the second innings of their life and saying, hey, I want to do something different. But it's also a very purposeful, meaningful, satisfying first career for everyone. The amount of change and influence that we are able to bring in the world around us is amazing. And we spoke about it. NGH is a great place to start because of the entire structured approach and the additional guardrails and support system and mentoring and the convention and all the good stuff that happens here under the NGH umbrella. So we were fortunate because we actually got certified way early in our own careers. But I see people all around who are coaches, who are healers, who are practicing an alternative complementary modality of some sort and kind of integrating hypnosis or working with hypnosis on the periphery. My recommendation to them is don't wait. If there's something that you are working with that's even remotely connected to hypnosis, and if they have the ability of getting certified, credentialed, trained, skilled, now's the time to do it.
Excellent.
Yeah, and basically if you feel called, if you think that your purpose is to help people out in any shape or form, become a hypnotist.
It's excellent. What I tell people is that it doesn't take away from what you already may be doing if you're already are like an alternative healer. It doesn't take away from what you're doing, but because now
Absolutely.
you'll have a formula on how to get people into their subconscious mind, it only makes more powerful and enhances what you're already doing by becoming a hypnosis, a hypnotist as well as that.
Absolutely.
You two
Absolutely.
are lovely. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank
And
you so
I
much,
look forward to
Devi.
talking with you again. So, and all of you that have
Absolutely.
tuned into our podcast, whether you're listening to us with the audio or on the YouTube station, thank you for tuning in. And keep tuning in to the National Guild of Hypnotists because we will be back.
Thank you for listening to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. You're welcome to share your ideas for future podcasts by emailing us. NGH podcast at ngh.net.